Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 222 of Beyond the Supernatural, and oh man, do I have something for you today. We've been talking about the Laszlo Society. This is the section of the book for the Laszlo Society, which is this loose internet-based group of paranormal enthusiasts and sort of amateur sleuths orbiting a core of more sort of professional field agents, the Laszlo Agency. But we can talk about the details of that another day. The thing to know is that the Laszlo Society runs this website where people who have experiences with the supernatural can write in with those experiences and share them with the community so that other paranormal investigators can start to get a little glimmer of what's really going on in the world. All the hidden wheels turning behind the scenes. Stuff that demons or cults or alien intelligences might be up to in the shadows. Now, there is a real website, laszlosociety.org, where you can go and post your own stuff, read other people's material. But the book itself, starting last page, concluding on this page, gives an example of the sort of paranormal experience, the sort of dark conspiracy that one might uncover in the world of Beyond the Supernatural. And I'm just here to dutifully share this creepypasta, essentially, with you. Make of it what you will. You may choose to be skeptical. Certainly our old friend Robert Mock was. This story is presented as being posted on the Laszlo Society forum by Robert Mock with the following skeptical introduction. Quote, "This report is FYI. It is not intended to spark controversy, government conspiracy theories, or paranoia about our hard-working police departments. Police across the United States of America put their lives on the line each and every day, and should be respected for that." Remember that this text is from 2005, when white people still felt obliged to pretend that the police are good. Quote, "I have recently received a disturbing bit of conjecture. Truth be told, when I first got this email, I found it rather unbelievable. I would have dismissed it as one of the hundreds of paranoid crank emails we get every month. I post it here on our website because it comes from a reliable and longtime friend of the Laszlo Agency, a police officer with 18 years' experience. To punctuate the matter, 3 days after receiving this message, our friend disappeared." He goes on to say, basically, on the one hand, this sounds ridiculous. On the other hand, he was a cop. I mean, come on, it's not like cops lie. So here it is, make your own judgment. Maybe there's something to this. Then we go into the quoted text directly from our informant's frenetic fingers into Robert Mock's inbox and onto the Laszlo Society website. Here we go. Quote, "I know it's a popular belief that the authorities are in cahoots to disregard and ignore anything unexplained or paranormal. It's true that the general level of disbelief is high on the job, but I never knew about any conspiracy. That being said, I knew even the strangest stuff needs to be written up, documented, and filed away. Our government's not so blind or that entrenched in denial to turn a complete blind eye to the inexplicable. That means reports of UFOs, vampires, monsters, magic, and you name it, usually gets written up by the officer who takes the report. That's no big deal, even if there are dozens of alleged eyewitnesses. What is a big deal is when a police officer has an encounter with the unexplained." This is when our informant goes on to describe his experience with a creature known as the Woodcarver, which is some kind of like a humanoid monster that marionettes clawed wooden puppets around to attack people. It operates in the Maine, Minnesota, Southern Canada region, it says. Anyway, we're not here to talk about the Woodcarver. We're here to talk about a much more insidious paranormal mystery. What happens is our informant sees the Woodcarver. Maybe he's the only person who's ever gotten a good look at one. So when he goes in to file his report back at the station or whatever, the feds are waiting for him. Quote, "I guess that's why the FBI was all over me for debriefing. Thing is, I've worked with federal agents, and these guys struck me as spooks. CIA or NSA, maybe. Not that it really matters. What bothered me is my report went on a form I'd never seen or heard of before, a DR-1313 form. I also heard it referred to as a darkroom file. I did a little digging, and this is what I found out." To summarize the explanation, what our informant discovers is that the federal government, some intelligence agency, could be FBI, could be CIA, whatever, they want to know about police experiences of the supernatural. So what the feds do is they come in and they tell the officer who saw something weird, write down everything you saw, no matter how strange exactly as it happened, on this DR-1313 incident report. Then never talk about it again. So you get that form with the detailed truth. Then the cop or somebody else fills out another report that just sort of glosses over everything and is like the public version of the story without any weird stuff in it. So far, just a regular run-of-the-mill government cover-up, but it's what comes next that truly elevates this to the realm of goofy-ass creepypasta. Quote, the document, meaning the DR-1313 form, is then given to the station captain, who makes a copy for the feds, marks it restricted, and files it in what is called the, quote, dark room. Not to be confused with Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. Quote, once it is secured in the dark room, no one outside of the station can ask to see it. Regular civilians, media, politicians, and police. Once it enters the dark room, it is sealed and unavailable except to, I don't know who, federal agents? When I asked about it, I was told to forget I ever made the report, ever saw them, and to keep my nose out of affairs that didn't concern me. So, you fill out a form with everything the officer saw, you make a copy for the feds, then you put the original in the dark room, which no one is allowed to see in there. What is the dark room? Quote, I've learned the dark room is usually an old, out-of-the-way supply closet without a doorknob and secured by a deadbolt lock. Who has the key? I don't know. The captain and the feds, I assume. The door is usually blocked slash concealed by a large piece of furniture, like a file cabinet or shelves, but easy enough to get to when it is needed. If the files outgrow this storage area, they're relocated to a larger room. Our informant goes on to say, quote, from what I can tell, only a handful of people in charge know about the dark room, where it is located, and what it contains. Only the head honchos and guys like me who learn about it by happenstance. I get the impression every precinct or precinct headquarters has one. So that's the secret of the dark room. In every precinct or precinct headquarters, there is a shelf or file cabinet, maybe a potted plant, an out-of-place chair, a vending machine, and it sits in front of a little door. And behind that little knobless door is a little closet. And in that little closet are manila folders containing all the supernatural shit that all of the cops from this precinct have ever seen, just lying there in a closet that no one is allowed to go into. They're very clear about this. When our informant asked about it, he was told, hey, mind your business. Listen, dramatically taking him aside. If you know what's good for you, you won't ask about the little closet. The little closet behind the ficus? Forget it. It's not worth your life, Sergeant. I imagine this must drive officers crazy. What is in that little room? And every time they ask, they're cut off. Same thing with anybody coming in from the outside. Maybe stories start to get around about the little closet. What's in the little closet? Why is there no doorknob? Why is there a file cabinet directly in front of the little door to the little closet? But nobody will tell the officers, so then they start telling the story around town, and pretty soon here come journalists inquiring about the little closet. And what happens? Quote, the politicians and media are never told about these reports, the dark rooms, or the involvement of the feds. If somebody does come snooping around, the captain has a private talk with him, and he is then shown out. Camera crew comes in, officers put their hands on the camera, police captain himself shows up, takes the journalist aside, maybe into a disused interrogation room, and leans over the table, menacing the journalist, and is like, listen to me, fuck nuts. Nobody, but nobody goes in the little closet. Until your fat cat boss is in the mainstream media, what's in that little fucking closet? It's none of their business. You don't live the life we live. Keep your nose out of the little closet. And the journalist, she just comes out with dead eyes. Still curious, but suitably impressed. Whatever's in that little closet, it's beyond her pay grade. It's over her head. Must be something real important behind that file cabinet in the little closet. Please keep in mind, this is not one weird secret in one police station. Literally every precinct has a piece of furniture with a little closet behind it that no one is ever allowed to go into. And no one is allowed to talk about. Quote, regarding our informant's report about his monster sighting. My debriefers told me not to think about it, much less talk about it, or the woodcarver. After my incident report, I had to sign a piece of paper that shuts you up thereafter. I was also told I did an admirable job. That strange stuff has no place in the mind of the average police officer. To forget about all this like it never happened. They make you sign a form. Presumably, the DR-1314 comes right after the 1313. You write down about how you were attacked by a vampire, or you saw a werewolf, or somebody tried to turn you into a Frankenstein, or whatever. That's DR-1313. You put it in the manila envelope. They take it away. They move the gumball machine or whatever. They go into the little closet. They put the folder in there. You never see it again. Then the other officer who stayed behind hands you the DR-1314. What's this? You got something else for me? That's right, Sergeant. This is a DR-1314. I need you to sign this and give Uncle Sam your assurance that you will never fucking talk about that little closet behind the gumball machine. Think of how often this must happen. Demon crime is fucking rampant in the United States in the world of Beyond the Supernatural. It happens all the time. It happens everywhere. We know that it disproportionately happens to street people. It happens to prostitutes. It happens to the poor. It happens to communities with a lot of violence. The cops must run into a ton of this shit. And everywhere in the United States, everywhere that a cop ever runs into anything supernatural, they gotta fill out a report with the federal government that goes into a little closet, and then they gotta sign a form specifically saying, you will never speak of the little closet. And if anyone should break their word, if anyone should violate the sanctity of the DR-1314 form, the waiver of rights to speak about little closets form, bad things could happen. Quote, there's a rumor about a few officers who went snooping into strange cases and asked too many questions about the dark room. Word is, two ended up dead on the street, and one disappeared after a nervous breakdown. But you know how rumors are. And sure enough, this informant is found wandering the streets, rambling to himself, only a short time after he sent this very missive to the Laszlo agency to warn them about the dark rooms. Whatever it is, it got to him, just like it gets to everyone. Every day, not only police, but like secretaries, janitorial staff, lawyers, people go to the police station, and they're just expected to pretend that there's not a knobless little closet behind the file cabinet. And should they ever snoop around? Should anyone get the bright idea? I see that fucking closet every day. Let me just move this file cabinet over. Just real quick while nobody's looking. I just gotta know what's in that little fucking closet. Should they do that? Should they make that mistake? They could be found dead. They could lose their sanity. Lose their whole identity. They could lose their whole life. Nobody, but nobody looks in the little closet. Nobody talks about the little closet. Nobody looks in the little closet. And I think the dumbest thing in this page is, why the fuck would you keep a separate little closet full of things no one is ever supposed to look at, securely concealed in a separate tiny closet in every single precinct in the United States? The combination of intense obsessive secrecy and security with this prodigal storage scheme, it's like if your dad hid his Playboys in every room, and not in good hiding places, but like in every room, there's a box with a blanket over it. Naturally, you're going to ask, hey, what's with all these boxes? Why is there a box with a blanket on it in the bathroom? And your dad's just like, listen to me. Never talk about the little box in the bathroom. Of course somebody's going to open the little box in the bathroom. Over the course of years, and magnified to a national scale even more so, especially once the feds get involved. I mean, I grant you, there's a certain level of like, this is none of my business, let me not put my career at risk. But at the same time, the sequence of events. You get jumped by somebody with vampire fangs. What the fuck? This shakes me to the core. Now I come back in to fill out the police report. The feds are waiting for me. What the fuck is this? I gotta fill out a report. I remember everything I saw. I write it down. It confirms it in my memory. Yes, I really did see a vampire. This is fucked up. That's why the feds are here. Then the feds take it away, and they put it in the little closet. And then they push a magazine rack in front of the closet. Only up to about two-thirds up the closet. It still needs to be accessible. So every day I come to work, I'm at my desk, it's staring me in the face. I can see the fucking closet behind the magazines. And I'm supposed to finish a career like this? I'm supposed to just sit here every day looking at the little closet, never even talking about, let alone going into, the little closet? The little closet that's taunting me? Of course I'm going in that closet. In this scenario, I'm going to die. Because one day it's going to be too much, and I'm going to fucking kick that magazine rack aside. If it's the last thing I do, I'm going to kick down the door. You may have to bring me down with violence, possibly. But in a scramble, in my last moments, I'm going to be in that closet. I'm going to be opening those manila folders. I just have to know. And what a letdown to sacrifice your career, if not your life, to go into the closet. And it's just a stack of manila folders of people talking about weird shit that happened to them. Just boring. Just like reading creepypasta. And why? What use is this to the feds? Is it in case they fucking lose their copy of the form? Because they got one. And they took it to headquarters or wherever. Do people not have fax machines? Do people not have email? Are we worried that we're going to be in the field in Podunk in the middle of nowhere and there's no good internet connection? And so we got to go to the local police station, to the captain, and be like, Agent so-and-so, FBI, take me to the little closet. And the captain is like, what little closet? We don't have a little closet. And you're like, easy, captain. We know about the little closet. And then you go into the little closet and turn on the little overhead light bulb and read what happened to some cop 10 years ago. By the supply closet's light. Boy, it's a good thing we expended copious station resources over the last decade to prevent anyone from ever going into or even discussing this little closet. I have a question about this too. Where do they file the form where you swear not to talk about the little closet? Because I understand, like, I guess nobody can get the DR 1313, right? It's not as though they're going to prosecute a vampire for first-degree bloodsuckery or whatever, and they're going to have to put a DR 1313 into evidence to show that you, a cop, actually did see this vampire do vampire shit. But what happens if you call into a radio show or go on a web forum like the Laszlo Society web forum and tell people about the little closet? Are they going to try to legally shut you down? What if you're a whistleblower? What if you go to another enforcement agency or some kind of oversight board? Internal affairs. Well, I mean, you're a cop. You know not to go to internal affairs. The attorney general. What happens then? Do they legally try to shut you down? Because if so, I feel like they're going to have to present that DR 1314 in court, which requires them to furnish the court with documents from inside the little closet. You win in that scenario. But I don't know that there's any other way to do it. Otherwise, you would have to have out in public, available to anyone, a record of you and all of your many compatriots throughout the years having specifically promised never to talk about the little closet, which I feel like might, at a certain point, start to draw attention to the little closet. This seems like a freedom of information problem just waiting to happen. You know how it is. They try to classify shit, and somebody always gets that edge. They always find that thing that isn't classified, and they figure it out. You know these conspirators are going to wake up one day and turn on the news and see, like, FOIA documents reveal that over the last 10 years, 40 police officers have been forced to promise that they will never talk about the little closet in the police station break room. All across the country, police officers' minds are blown. They've got a little closet too? Now it's spreading like wildfire. This is the dumbest thing on this page, obviously. This is the worst and silliest conspiracy maybe that I've ever seen. The conspiracy to have a little tiny knobless closet in every police station across the country to hide manila folders in. It's so ridiculous. I love it so much. If you want to run campy beyond the supernatural, just straight up run the little closet conspiracy. And I promise you, it hardly matters what you put in the closet. Just the little closet. Just the little closet hidden behind furniture. That's such a wonderful touch. It's so perfect. And it's not just certain precincts, but every precinct. Ah, just that's a chef kiss if you can't hear a chef kiss. This is beautifully campy, one of my favorite things in this book. Dumb as hell. I love it so much. Join me tomorrow when we get some more details about the Laszlo Society, the Laszlo Agency, and Victor Laszlo himself, and we dip into laszlosociety.org to fact-check some demographic information about the Laszlo Society on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Megadumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.